All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about snap jigging. Why are we talking about this now?
Well, it's that time of year. Late summer, early fall snap jigging.
It is. Snap jigging. What?
Encompasses a lot of things.
So this one, Junior probably won't be able to talk about.
do you know what we're talking about when we say snap jigging?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you snapping and what are you jigging? Because that's making me kind of gross out.
No, and the reason why is because he's been coaching football, little kid football for the last 2 years, and he doesn't get out as much
that's
summer.
Yeah, then I got an injector out on the big motor, so.
Yeah.
That's keeping me.
You do?
Yes. Went out last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Lost about 10,000 RPM and 10 mile an hour, or about 8-9 mile an hour.
Well, good thing you weren't caught in a big storm and it happened.
Well, it's not. It was just top end speed. It was running great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just ran great. It's just I would get to that top RPM level, and then you could feel it pull back.
Bog.
Yeah. And I would go from about, I usually run about 53, 54, and it would pull me back down about 47.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, run it.
So my tracker's hitting 34.
So it just sucked because you could feel it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then all of a sudden boats start catching you. Yeah. You're like, oh, that sucks.
Hey. So I'm used to it, Mitch. You used to it on your boat?
I max out at 30.
So I kind of like it when boats go flying by me because like, yeah, things are running good. Yep. Good for them.
I like them to check me out when I go on the ground.
That's it. That's it. Right. Yeah. So snap jigging. So it is this time of year. So we'll kind of talk about when you want to do this. We said late summer, you know, early fall, but not a fall transition yet. Yeah. No, we're starting to get close, you know, but
it's almost still dog days, in my opinion. You know, we're getting kind of the end of the dog days.
Yes. Yeah. Where are we doing a lot of trolling, you know what I mean, and stuff during the dog days. And but now we're to where the water temperature really isn't going up anymore, not too much, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's starting to drop.
Really.
It's starting to drop a little bit. You're seeing that, like, if you go out a couple days in a row and your water temperature's at like 75 because it's getting a little cooler at night now. Yeah, it's 69, 70 in the day, in the morning when you get there versus 75 during the day. You come out the next morning, it's 72. Yeah. It's barely dropped. Yeah.
Well,
so we're starting to see that. That's a good indication of when you want to start doing this.
Well, and we're in a bad drought this year. I mean, it's been brutal for us out west.
Is it all over the place?
No, it's out west. It's west.
It's kind of the whole western United States is pretty much severe drought.
But we are
our
losing,
whole state.
Yeah, I mean, we are one of our great fisheries is going to go dry. And
let's
talk
about that on another podcast. Yeah. Like severe water fluctuation. Yeah. We can talk about that.
Yeah, and that's what this could lead into for the next one. But but the point is that you know, there is a lot of changing factors, and so I think part of snap jigging is covering water. I mean, you're not covering it as fast as trolling, but you're covering it much faster than, let's say, vertical jigging, right?
Oh, by far.
And you're doing it much faster than live bait rigging or slip bobbering or any of those other type of because you can catch fish right now on a lot of different presentations. I mean, we could go last year. I think it was about this time you and I went, right, Brad? We were doing bottom bouncers with all sorts of things. And then we were also doing drop shotting, which was a blast.
Oh, okay. I remember what time you're talking about.
And, you know, so there's a lot of different ways for us to be able to catch fish right now. But to start to catch more fish, consistent fish, bigger fish, snap jigging, and snap jigging could be shiver minnows. Snap jigging can be jigging wraps. Mm-hmm. Snap jigging can be
those Berkley glide baits. What are those called? I can't think of the
jigs. So we could do the Berkley rib jigs are the heads with the glides.
Yeah, they're like a jig head with like the glides
from
the wings.
The wings from like the jigging wrap or shiver.
Yeah,
and you know, there's a lot of different things we can do. You can do blade baits. You could do lipless crankbaits. I mean, there's a lot of really fun things you can rip jig. And I think the thing we're looking for now is fish are still active. They have, most lakes have a lot of bait, mm-hmm. so they are fairly picky because they can eat whatever they want. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crayfish swimming around. There's a lot of small perch.
So the reason why we're doing snap jigging is to, because there is so much of that bait. I mean, this is one of the reasons.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bait out there, and by pulling cranks through, which we've been doing, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But what you're doing now is starting to change that presentation to make it look different than the balls of bait fish swimming around looking for cover to hide.
And you're getting that reaction straight.
And you are. But also, I talked about it at the very beginning. When you start seeing, especially shad lakes, you know, or shiner lakes for sure. But if you start having big fluctuations from the night or from the daytime temperature to night, where your surface temperature is dropping like that 8-9 degrees, some of those bait fish struggle with that, right? And so you're starting to see some of those, probably not quite yet, but you're going to start seeing a little bit of die-off. We'll yeah. definitely see it in a few weeks, but you're kind of getting into that too by snap jigging. What you're kind of doing is getting that whatever you decide to use to kind of dart and like, is it dying? Is it fleeing? What's it doing?
What's it doing? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's true with the crayfish. I mean, there's huge crayfish populations right now, and those fish all over the place are eating crayfish, and you know, that's the same type of deal. I mean, it, you know, even though it has a minnow slender profile, you know, they don't know. I mean, it's just darting up and it's going back down. Well, that's what the crayfish do. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think it's important too, when you talk about snap jigging, you know, there's different levels to how crazy you get with that snap. And I have noticed...
I think some guys oversnap.
Yes, doing that rip jig. It was... we were using a soft minnow plastic, whether it be gulp or a zoom, a split tail fluke, something like that. And, you know, I used the biggest head they had, which is, I think, 3/8 ounce or something like that.
For what? For the...
For the Berkeley new big ones? Head for the Berkeley ones.
Oh, yeah. It is 3/8.
And,
I'm pretty sure it's 3/8, isn't it?
So, anyways, it's heavy, right? And we're only fishing in 10, 12 feet of water, and you're thinking, wow, that's pretty heavy for that. But you want it to be heavy because, first off, you get a lot of good feedback. When you do rip it up, you get a lot of good feedback like you would a shiver minnow or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool to see as far as you didn't have to go from, let's say, you know, like 4 o'clock all the way up to 12 o'clock, right? I mean, you didn't have to give it that huge rip. You could give it that quick pop, that, you know, 9 to 12, boom.
If that.
Boom, if that. And that bad boy would dart up. And then if you held it at 12 o'clock, you could see your line pendulum down.
Yes. Yeah. Different directions.
Oh, yeah.
Even,
you and, it see was, it. And it was even a, I don't know, three feet, 4 feet. It would travel across. You could watch it travel all the way across, mm-hmm. and then it would stop. And you knew you were back on bottom. Mm-hmm. Now, when we did even the smaller sizes, so I would do, let's say, the 1/2 ounce or even smaller than that because we were fishing a little bit shallower, the pop was even quicker. It was maybe, you know, 10 to 12. Boom.
You lose a little bit of that glide action because you're right, especially around that 12, 15 foot mark.
The big ones really seem to glide. The smaller ones don't glide quite
well,
as much.
Well, and I think what it is, and because I played around with them, is sometimes you end up putting too big.
That's what she said.
Yeah. You put too big, you're going to lose some of that glide
she
action.
She never said that.
Of that. Yeah. Yeah, she has. So no, you're going to lose some of that 3-4 foot glide. It's probably more around that 3. Sometimes it can get to 4, but you're going to lose some of that if you use too big a profile plastic on the back.
See, I thought it was opposite.
I'm the talking not long. Width.
Oh, I don't know. What would you put on there that would be so wide?
Kalen's.
See, that Kalen was pretty slim, too. And it's got, and the belly is split for hooks and stuff.
That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about like the big, almost twister tail type.
I know what you're talking.
Yeah.
I've never used one with a twister tail.
So, no, what I noticed is, and just be mindful of it, and if you haven't experienced this because you haven't seen it or done this, is the bigger jigs are the bigger plastics. If the ribs of that go back to the glide, back to that plastic glide, mm-hmm. you lose. It's like the water doesn't travel over that glide right, and you are going to lose some of that action. Oh. So you're probably.
I've never used a twister tail or anything with ribs on it.
Oh, we pounded them in Sterling doing that. But mm-hmm. it was, we ended up, what we did is took the scissors and cut the front.
To shorten it up.
To shorten it up.
Because our shanks on our hooks weren't long enough to put the whole thing on, but it worked fine.
Yeah.
And they glide with the twister tails, huh?
Oh, yeah. No problem.
So real quick, talking plastics, just last night, My wife comes up with an empty bag of gulp. Our dog Maggie ate the whole bag of yellow.
So now we know how to catch a dog.
Yes.
Man, no kidding.
So, I mean, Berkeley Gulp is so good, even dogs.
Even dogs, really, yeah, yeah. Dogs will eat their own turds, but they'll also eat Berkeley Gulp.
That's true. But you see how we had that issue.
Yeah.
So, and you probably just never put a jig on.
I've never put anything with, it's always Wait, been
What about
some
if you did
of...
a ripple shed? Would you put a ripple shed on it?
Maybe.
But you can see how that body profile is bigger.
Yeah.
And once it starts extending into that plastic, those fins, you just got to be careful. I mean, that's when you start losing. Now you're going to get like a 6-inch travel, 8-inch travel.
Yeah, well, it's aqua dynamics. It's just like aerodynamics.
It is, seriously.
The water. It's the same principles.
Is that a real term?
It is now.
Well, it sounds like
All Eyes
like
on
it.
Fishing just said it is.
It's a Mitchism.
Yeah.
Aqua dynamics.
I bet it is.
Sounds like a 1980s hairspray.
I'm going to look that up while you guys are talking.
Look at it. Because if it's not, we're going to send it in Webster.
There we go. Yeah. Get it in there. We'll get it in the Urban Dictionary.
Aqua dynamics. I like it, though.
Sounds like a jazzercise class or something. I always like the minnow imitators because I think that's the best. But
they do work. Good. That's a slender profile most of the time. So
well, and they just seem to, you know, you don't need really any action. The action is the darting and the floating, or the gliding. So a lot of those, like the gulp and stuff, they don't have really any action.
The deal with, and so the reason why you would use a twister tail or some of the Kalins is because when you snap jig it, it does a more, you'll notice it falls slower, but still gets its angle
because
of the wider body. Just
and
know
the
how
tail, well, and
the tail grabs the water, a little bit. You're still going to get your 3-foot travel. So that changes a little bit.
That's interesting. I'd like to actually try that out and see. We'll get a chance
to
fall.
Aquadynamics. Yeah. Hold on. Definition.
See, there's a, it's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I also, and then this time of year, also a favorite for me is jig and wrap. I actually prefer the jig and wrap this time of year over the shiver, but any one of those,
especially
is a
in about
time.
3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. And I actually kind of prefer doing the jig and wrap more of a vertical. I think it does better vertical, than the shiver does. But, that shiver minnow, from now all the way until, it ices up in the Midwest.
Dude, shiver, so you can fish all year round.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, that's when those fish really start to
go towards that bait. Having a shape that reduces drag when moving through water. So that's why we were having issues with
aquadynamics.
Aquadynamics.
Oh, so it's a real term.
See,
look at that.
Who's the smartest one?
Check out the big brain on Brad.
I got to take this and run with it. I think the last podcast, you guys were giving me crap. Like, what did you just say?
No, it was because you wanted to use a picture of the guy catching his flicker for the podcast. And how in the hell could we do that? You heard the podcast.
You didn't have to bring it back up again.
No, but that's why we thought you were an idiot.
We could have moved away from that. So here's the thing that you guys are kind of overlooking, and the thing that I love about doing any of this stuff. So it is, to me right now, it's still kind of that reaction bite time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, you can go troll suspended fish. A lot of times those suspended fish, when you mark them, they are active, or they're not negative anyway, right? Yeah. That's why they're out there hovering over the base.
You get the reaction of going by them with that bait or
that's
pulling out the exactly bait or something causing it to go up and down or whatever.
So you got a crankbait that goes by a fish. A lot of times it's a reaction strike, but it's that steady, same speed pull pretty much when you're trolling. It's in their zone for, X amount of time, and they either, get triggered or don't, right? Well, the cool thing I think about snap jig, jigging wraps, all this stuff, is it employs your triggering them with that kind of action, but you can cover more water, right? So picture that one fish is out there in that 20-yard stretch you cast. I mean, how many jig and rips can you do, say, within 5-8 yards of that fish, 2 or 3, to give him more time to react and to get triggered? Kind of. So that's why I like that, where it allows you to fish that bigger area where, say fish were on structure and you were parked right on top of them, they're right there. Yeah, then you might want to go straight vertical and do your,
right.
You can vertical snap jig. It's usually we're moving.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you talked about it. Usually we're moving it at that 0.6, 0.7, so we can work water.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
especially when you jump up to that 3/8 ounce. It's easy to do.
Oh, it's way easy to, cast.
That quarter ounce, especially when you're putting on a twister tail, it makes it tough, especially once you get around that 15-foot mark. It does. Yeah.
Those smaller heads are harder to feel, but you know, I really like the size for jigging wraps, the size 5 or the size 7 jigging wraps. You know, I like to keep it at the 5, but we'll go up to the 7s. I haven't used many of the 9s. Although I'm sure you could, maybe on a Great Lakes or some other bigger.
I've never used them.
I'm sure you could.
I think 7s and.
Well, let's talk about fishing line real quick, because I noticed, because I used a lot of snap jigs and snap jigging at the last tournament I was in when I was pre-fishing, that I was having a heck of a time, and I have Fireline Ultra 8, that yep. carrier 8 or whatever, I have that because I like it for jigging in general, but I noticed that I also put it on the rod that I use for casting cranks. And when I would do some sort of jerk bait, I was having a lot of problem with getting tangles, bird's nests, a lot of problems. It was starting to drive me freaking nuts because on the spinning
casting?
Reel. Casting? No, on the spinning reel.
Doing as a jerk bait or snapping?
Either one. Either one where you're reeling up that loose line after you do the snap or the.
It can get up around that top of the spool.
No, it goes down on the bottom. It was going on the bottom. No. And it was driving me nuts, right? And so, but then you go to cast, and this huge clump comes out, and then if it gets kind of stuck in the eyelet, it pulls it pretty tight. And so, basically, I mean, I had to restring two of my rods because it took all the line, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a mess. Mm-hmm. So, my teammates, he uses the X9, the Berkeley X9. That's the newest one of their. You know, braids. The X5 and the X9 are the two of the newer ones. And he said he had far, far less issues doing that. And he's more of a bass fisherman.
Yeah.
Far less issues doing that using that X9.
What weight rod were you using?
Medium. And it was just.
No, I've had that same issue.
It's almost like the Ultra 8 or the Carrier, whatever it is too, almost just a touch too stiff.
It's not stiff, but it has that memory. Like how you can bend it
a little bit of memory.
A little bit of stiffness to it.
That's what I blame, because I'll go out casting at night. Like last fall, I'd go out on missions and cast, and you know, it's dark, so I'm not even looking at my spool. And sure enough, and all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, what happened?
Yep.
You know, I've been doing this my whole life, and that happened. Yep. But it is. I think it's that line sometimes gets a little bend and it catches something, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes.
But it was doing it almost every cast. I mean, it was just a night. It was going to be a nightmare. So
really every cast. Yes, I mean, I noticed it a couple of times.
I was getting quite.
Have you
a
used
few,
mono?
I don't like doing mono with that kind of stuff.
I was just asking.
No, I don't have anything strung up with mono except for my trolling rods.
Well, and
my bottom bouncing rods.
Well, and probably your slip bobber rods.
Nope, slip bobbers.
Fireline. Oh no, we have slip bobbers. We'd use mono.
I use Fireline for my slip bobbers. So I just don't, I want to try that X9.
I've never tried it.
That's my next order. Will be.
Yeah, X9, I've noticed it. I guess it's just one of those things that, you know, when you were saying that, because I've had that issue, and I think one of the ways to overcome it too is I kind of keep, I hold my rod different than how you hold it when you're snap jigging. I've watched you do it, and I have my hand way up on the almost in front. Yeah, in front of the spool. You can't ever say that.
I said nothing. I was being serious, and I got a little
bit. No, but you're right. To be able to put your finger up farther, and it's almost like controlling that line with my index finger.
Yeah.
Just kind of out of necessity because of some of those issues. And I've just started doing that, and I don't even now I've done it enough, I don't even really realize I do it. But I remember making that adjustment and trying it, and that did help. But it is, I would rather hold the rod like I would normally, and try a different line that works.
Well,
because we've used mono before, and it works, but it's just
can't
the
feel
thing.
It,
the thing that's good about
you can't see the line.
That's the thing, right there.
Well, and that's what
on
I
the
want,
drop. You want to see the line.
I wanted to bring that up because you know most of these fish are going to hit that bait when it's gliding or dropping.
Yeah, you'll see it pop,
and you know a lot of guys will even use that high vis line and stuff, and it's so you can see your line. So as you're bringing it back and ripping it when it's got the slack, you know on the drop, drop, basically, watch that line.
Oh, you want the slack, like tension slack. A little bit of tension slack. Not like, you know what I mean? Not like all of a sudden it's 100% free.
Free fall. But a lot of times you'll see that line dart before you would ever feel it or anything. And a lot of times that's enough time.
I remember
to get
a couple years ago, every one of them we caught by visual. Remember we were talking about, we're like, oh, there's one. And you didn't even feel it. You would just see that line pop.
I see that line pop and go, And I think it's important to talk about rods because, you know, I was using a medium action, 6'6" jigging rod.
Fast or what kind of tip?
What's a pair?
He said it again.
Damn, you guys are like juvenile.
Whatever it is. Yeah, fast action. It was my new Fenwick that I got. I do like using a casting rod, like a 6'9" or a 7-foot casting rod, to do some of those, especially like blade baits or the heavier ones, because I think you can feel it a little bit easier, and you can do those.
Well,
smaller,
you don't have to do as big.
But mine broke. Two tournaments ago, and since
where just the tip,
Jesus, right? And you know they're hard to get right now. You can't.
Well, I was just going to say I haven't been able to replace it because we can't place an order because you can't do that. So I have been waiting till we can place an order to get a new one. So I've just been using my jigging rods for both casting cranks, which I really don't like to do, and then to do snap jigging.
Yeah,
and but a medium action, a good backbone. Rod is what you need. And then I would actually even recommend, I like to use the 2300 series reels for a lot of my jigging stuff because they're just a little smaller, lighter. If you're using them all day, it doesn't seem to put as much stress on your arms, hands, wrists, whatever. But I would actually recommend going up to that 3500 series reel for snap jigging, just for the fact of you can cast these big, heavy baits a long ways.
A mile.
And if you need a lot of line, and if you get one bird's nest, which happened to me, one bird's nest on these smaller reels, it takes all of your line if it's in the middle.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely recommend going to the next size bigger reel. I would try that X9 braid by Berkley. It seemed to do a lot better for...
Well, that's what you heard. Brooks. You haven't tried it. So.
Well, but we all were doing the same thing, and they said they had a lot less issues. Mm-hmm. And then... again, I like the at least a medium, if not a medium heavy. I mean, I would think the stiffer backbone, a little bit longer rod. It's kind of nice with these heavy baits.
I think we're in agreement. We'd do the same thing.
Yeah, and when those fish hit it, man, you better be holding on because they will whack it.
Yep. So, well, snap jigging. Love it. It's fun to talk about. Hey, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. we do appreciate you sharing us and letting your friends know about All Eyes on Fishing. And going to our website at alleyesonfishing.com and looking at our apparel. We have a lot of orders. It's great. Let's keep them coming. But our success is because of you. So thanks a lot. Have a good night.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.